Old business, and our first item of old business is subdivision 2020-08 Lock Haven.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, the commission might remember this from the previous meeting of June 24th, and at that meeting it was deferred for additional information, specifically in relation to DLDOT's information on the bridge, and also in terms of the soil feasibility report that was received as part of that application. I can announce that we have received some additional documentation from the applicant in relation to both of those points, and they have been added to the application file, and copies have been circulated to the commission this evening. The additional documents specifically include comments that have been received from DENREC in relation to the expiration of a soil feasibility report. I've learned something new that apparently, from a DENREC perspective, the applicant has supplied an email saying that there is no specific expiry date on a soil feasibility report that has previously been undertaken. In addition to that, the applicant has also provided some clarification as to the soil investigation plan and which lots relate to which previous lots on the previous drawing. And Mr. Chairman, if you remember, there was some discussion about the previous soil feasibility report referring to lot numbers and then having been redesigned and changed. So there's now a letter on file to that effect. The letter we have from DLDOT provides some structural engineering analysis in relation to inspections of the bridge. I do not propose to go through that in significant detail. It's quite voluminous, but all of that has now been received, and we can now announce receipt of that. So.
My question is, though, I mean, definitely can't make any decision tonight. I've got to read through all this stuff. But we didn't ask, was the soil report good? We asked them to do a new one, didn't we?
So if that is the commission's wish, they will have to complete a whole new study. So what the applicant has provided is evidence that the old one is still relevant. But if that is the commission's wish, they will have to do it.
Well, let me ask you a question. In 16 years, have the requirements and standards changed? I think that was the concern I had, was that in that period of time, had the evaluation standards changed? And would a new report, I think the thought was a new report might yield a different, you know, different conclusion. And if that's not so, then I'd just like to know. But that was, at least in my mind, was the reason for asking for it. I mean, the land is still the land. I'm sure it hasn't changed very much, you know, but if the standards had, then my concern was that the findings might be different now. That was my thinking.
Yeah.
Are the locations, is this plan the same as the plan years ago? I mean, are we testing the right area? Are those tests? I mean, it's kind of irrelevant because I would agree with the chairman on that.
It sounds to me like what the applicant may have done is matched it up for us. I mean, I think what sounds like has been done. Bear in mind, this information is just, we just got it, so nobody's had a chance to really look at it. So we probably need to do that before we talk about it, I guess.
Right. But that's true. Yeah.
This issue, just be sure.
And I make a motion then that we.
Well, let me ask you a question quick, because I'm not sure what your motion was going to be. If you wanted to, so there's a letter that was supplied by the applicant from, looks like, a Jeffrey Klein at DENREC that says there's no expiration date for soil feasibility studies. It seems like staff could ask to see if, you know, they may not expire, but if you want to see, you know, if the requirements changed, you could reach out.
The question is, you know, are the standards of evaluation different now than they were then?
Good question.
That would be the question I would want to know.
So staff could reach out and then bring this back to announce those documents should we be able to receive.
So let's keep it open then to get that information, and before we move forward anymore on this. Any other things while we're, you know.
I think you just continue to keep the record open for information regarding the reasons it was left open in the first place for soil feasibility. Yes. And
isn't there? Don't we
soils
have
tests?
Do we have a clock that runs on subdivision decisions?
No, we do from the time
the record is closed.
That's right. so we have time.
Leave the record open, it won't start the, we won't be in a jam time-wise, so there's really no problem waiting a couple more weeks, okay?
Okay.
Now, I understand the applicant would like to have a decision, I get that, but we've got to go through this.
Is it just this one?
We've also got.
Lot of information on the bridge.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff on the bridge, yeah.
I think we may need to be an engineer to interpret it.
Yeah, we may have to have someone tell us what it says, it's true, but I think we've got an engineer to.
Mr. Whitehouse, you indicated it was a letter from Dell.com. Is there a letter, or is it just the data? Because I didn't see.
It was the actual inspection results. There is on the file, the email that came in attached to is on the file, so.
Well, do they offer an opinion on the bridge?
This is the bridge part.
Well, we'll look at it, nobody's had a chance.
No, we haven't had a chance.
Okay, all right. So, just to confirm, Mr. Chairman, and we may not have a paper copy, I will make sure it's circulated, but there is an email from Mr. McCabe at Dell.com, who is the Sussex County Plan Review Coordinator, and he confirms that he's been through all the Dell.com divisions, and they do not currently have any load restrictions on bridge number 717. They've completed a maintenance project there in the last 2 years to correct an erosion issue associated with the bridge. The bridge is currently in good condition and is only 36 years old, and there should be quite a bit of life left here in the bridge. And then he appends that technical report to his email. So that is included in the record.
Okay.
Can we make sure we get a copy of that? Because I'm not sure everybody got that.
Right. Make sure all the commissioners get that. Okay.
All right.
Let's move.
Okay, so then we're keeping the record, make a motion, we keep the record open for that additional information about standards for soil feasibility and updates.
I don't know, did we ask in our questions, in addition to those two items, did we ask when the state thought they would be widening that road?
We didn't, but as we're leaving the record open, we
can. Yeah, but the record was left open for a specific reason.
I'm as concerned about that as anything. So I would like to know when they plan to make that road wider.
Any upgrades to that road?
Yeah, but I think we closed the record, but for the two things we talked about.
That's fine.
Which was the bridge and the issue with the soils.
Okay.
Okay, so you heard my motion. You understand what we're looking for? Okay.
A second.
Okay. It's moved and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2020-8 Lock Haven, leaving the record open to receive the information requested by the commission. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is subdivision 2020-19 Monarch Glen.
Anybody have any?
No.
And Mr. Chairman, I move that we grant preliminary approval of subdivision 2020-19 for Monarch Glen based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the applicant is seeking approval of a subdivision within the AR1 and GR zoning districts. The applicant is seeking clustered lots with a minimum area of 7,500 square feet. The largest lot will be 13,670 square feet in size, and the average lot size is 8,931 square feet. Two, the proposed subdivision will have no more than 246 lots on 125.54 acres. This results in a net density that is within the maximum density that is permitted on this property. Three, the proposed development will comply with all Dell.com roadway and entrance requirements. Four, the proposed subdivision meets the purpose and standards of the subdivision code, and the applicant has addressed the requirements of section 99-9C of the code. Five, the subdivision contains approximately 59 acres of open space, which represents nearly 47% of the site. Six, the lots and amenities are clustered on the most environmentally suitable areas of the site and avoid wetlands. Seven, the project will be served by central water and sewer. Eight, the subdivision is based on a design that is superior to a standard subdivision. The design includes the preservation of approximately 29 acres of existing woods with a substantial amount of open space and buffering that would not be achieved within a standard subdivision. Nine, the development complies with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan as a low-density single-family dwelling subdivision. 10, this preliminary approval is subject to the following. A, there shall be no more than 246 lots within the subdivision. B, the final site plan shall confirm that at least 47% of the site remains as open space. This open space calculation shall include the land that is the subject of the transmission line easement and the small parcel that is in the north side of Fisher Road. It is acknowledged that this small parcel may be dedicated to use as part of the bike trail system, and such a dedication or transfer shall not require a recalculation of the open space. C, the developer shall establish a homeowners association responsible for the maintenance of streets, roads, buffers, stormwater management facilities, and other common areas. D, the stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. The final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. E, there shall be a vegetated or forested buffer that is at least 30 feet wide installed along the perimeter of this subdivision, with the exception of the power line easement area, the street stub, and the connection to the trail connecting to the state's bike trail. This buffer shall utilize existing forest or similar vegetation if it exists in the buffer area. Where trees currently exist in the buffer area, stump removal or construction activities that disturb the existing grade of the area within the buffer shall be prohibited. All silt fencing shall be located along the interior limit of the buffer area, the edge of the buffer nearest the interior development, and the final site plan shall identify the limit of disturbance to prevent disturbance of the buffer area. F, there shall be a 25-foot building setback from all non-tidal wetlands. No non-tidal wetlands shall be disturbed without an approval from the Army Corps of Engineers. G, the development shall comply with all DLDOT entrance and roadway improvement requirements. H, as proffered by the applicant, sidewalks shall be installed on both sides of the internal streets. A system of fully shielded and downward screen street lighting shall also be provided. I, the subdivision shall be served by a central sewer system. J, the subdivision shall be served by a publicly regulated central water system providing drinking water and fire protection. K, street design shall meet or exceed Sussex County standards. There shall also be an area set aside for possible future street interconnectivity between Saddlewood Drive and the adjoining property. This point of possible future interconnection shall be shown on all future plans, including recorded site plans of this development. L, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department. M, construction site work and deliveries shall only occur on the site between the hours of 7 a.m. through 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. No Saturday or Sunday hours are permitted. A 24-inch by 36-inch notice sign confirming these hours in English and Spanish shall be prominently displayed at the site entrance during construction. N, the applicant shall coordinate with the local school district regarding the location of a school bus stop within the subdivision. If required by the school district, the location of the bus stop area shall be shown on the final site plan. O, the final site plan shall include a landscape plan depicting all landscaping to be provided, the preservation of all buffer areas, and the forested areas that will be preserved. The landscape plan shall also identify all limits of disturbance within the site. P, the final site plan shall include a grading plan for the site. No building permit shall be issued for individual lots until an individual lot grading plan has been supplied to and approved by Sussex County. No certificate of occupancy shall be issued until a grading certificate is submitted to the Building Code Department demonstrating general conformity with the individual site grading plan. Q, the final site plan and the recorded restrictive covenants for this subdivision shall include the agricultural use protection notice and a similar notice that hunting activities may occur on adjacent properties. Okay, we're at R. A revised preliminary site plan either depicting or noting these conditions must be submitted to the Office of Planning and Zoning, and S, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
A second.
Been moved and seconded to approve subdivision 2020-19 Monarch Glen for the reasons and with the conditions stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is conditional use number 2259 Evergreen Companies LLC.
Anybody have any questions of that? This was Mr. Mears's motion, but I will be introducing it since he's not here.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval for conditional use number 2259 for Evergreen Companies LLC for multifamily units in the MR zoning district based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this application seeks the approval of 30 multifamily units in the MR medium density residential zoning district. These homes will have the appearance of single-family dwellings. Two, the MR zoning of this property permits a density of up to 4 units per acre. This applicant seeks a density of 2.5 units per acre, which is well below the density that is possible on this property. Three, this site was previously approved as a conditional use for 48 multifamily units. That conditional use was never built. This project is a significant reduction in density from what was previously approved. Four, the site is in the coastal area according to Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. This type of development is appropriate in this area according to the plan. Five, the proposed development will not have an adverse impact on the neighboring properties or community. It is similar in nature and design to other developments that exist in the neighborhood along Fred Hudson and Cedar Neck Roads. It is also very close to the commercial area at the intersection of these two roads. This is an appropriate location for this type of development. Six, the project will not have an adverse impact upon traffic or roadways. DelDOT has stated that the traffic impact of this development will be negligible, and the developer will be required to make road improvements required by DelDOT and contribute to other area road improvements to be built by DelDOT. Seven, the development will be served by Central Sewer as part of the county-operated sewer system. Eight, the development will be served by Central Water. Nine, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the maximum number of residential units within this entire development shall be 30. B, the applicant shall form a condominium association to be responsible for the perpetual maintenance of the development's roadways, buffers, stormwater management facilities, erosion and sedimentation control facilities, and other common areas. C, all entrance, intersection, roadway, and multimodal improvements shall be completed by the developer in accordance with all DelDOT requirements. D, the project shall be served by Sussex County Sewer. The developer shall comply with all Sussex County Engineering Department requirements, including any off-site upgrades necessary to provide service to the project. E, the project shall be served by Central Water to provide drinking water and fire protection. F, street naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Departments. G, the final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex County Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation controls. H, all streetlights shall be shielded and downward screened so that they do not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. I, the interior street design shall meet or exceed Sussex County's street design requirements. There shall be sidewalks on at least one side of all streets. J, if requested by the local school district, a school bus stop shall be provided. The location of the bus stop shall be shown on the final site plan. K, recreational amenities shall be completed no later than the issuance of the 15th residential building permit. These amenities shall include a pool, pool deck, and bathrooms. L, construction site work and deliveries shall only occur on the site between the hours of 7 a.m. through 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. No Saturday or Sunday hours are permitted. A 24-inch by 36-inch notice sign confirming these hours shall be prominently displayed at all entrances to the site during construction. M, all the buildings shall be set back at least 20 feet from all non-tidal wetlands. N, there shall be a vegetated or forested buffer that is at least 20 feet wide installed along the western perimeter of this development. This shall utilize the existing poplar trees within the buffer area with vegetation added as a screen in accordance with the requirements of section 115-218D and 99-5 of the county code. Where the trees currently exist in the buffer area, stump removal or construction activities that disturb the existing grade of the area within the buffer shall be prohibited. All silt fencing shall be located along the interior limit of the buffer area, the edge of the buffer nearest the interior development, and the final site plan shall identify the limits of disturbance to prevent disturbance of the buffer area. In addition, a split rail or similar type of fence shall be installed along the boundary line of the property next to this buffer. Oh, the final site plan shall include a landscape plan confirming all landscaping to be provided. the preservation of all buffer areas and the forested areas that will be preserved. This landscape plan shall further identify all limits of disturbance within the site. P, the final site plan shall include a grading plan for the site. No building permits shall be issued until a lot grading plan has been supplied and approved by Sussex County. No certificate of occupancy shall be issued until a grading certificate is submitted to the Building Code Department demonstrating general conformity with the individual site grading plan. Q, as proffered by the applicant, the final site plan and the recorded condominium covenants shall prohibit the application of fertilizers or similar soil additives on the property by the individual unit owners. All such applications shall be managed by the condominium association and a contractor of its designation using best managed practices to seek to minimize the risk of runoff into the stormwater management system, wetlands, and waterways. R, the failure to abide by these conditions shall result in the termination of this conditional use. And S, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
Second.
Mr. Chair, I will abstain. I'm sorry.
Okay, very good. It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2259, Evergreen Companies LLC, for the reasons and with the stipulation stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Motion carries 3-0. Okay. The next item is conditional use number 2249, May Apple Farm LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval for conditional use number 2249 for May Apple Farm LLC for multifamily units in the AR1 zoning district based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this application seeks the approval of 41 multifamily units that will have the appearance of single family homes. Two, the property is in an area where a variety of development has occurred. There is a nearby Bayside development with many single and multifamily units, and there are other developments with similar characteristics and densities nearby. This project is consistent with these other nearby uses and is appropriate in this location. Three, this application seeks a density of 2.178 units per acre. This is within the permitted density of the AR1 zone. Four, the site is in the coastal area according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. This type of development is appropriate in this area according to the plan, which states that a range of housing types and medium and higher densities are acceptable when a site is served by central water and sewer, where the use is in keeping with the character of the area and other similar factors. These types of considerations exist with regard to this site. Five, the proposed development will not have an adverse impact on the neighboring properties or community. Six, the project will not have an adverse impact upon traffic or roadways. The developer will be required to make road improvements required by DLDOT and contribute to other area road improvements to be built by DLDOT. Seven, the level of service of nearby roadways and intersections will not be significantly adversely affected by this development. Eight, the development will be served by central sewer. Nine, the development will be served by central water. 10, as a multifamily development in the AR1 district, this development must comply with the 40% open space and 75-foot buffer requirements of section number 115-22 of the zoning code. 11, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the maximum number of residential units within this entire development shall be 41. B, the applicant shall form a condominium association to be responsible for the perpetual maintenance of the development's roadways, buffers, stormwater management facilities, erosion and sedimentation control facilities, and other common areas. C, all entrance, intersection, roadways, and multimodal improvements shall be completed by the developer in accordance with DLDOT requirements. D, the project shall be served by Sussex County Sewer. The developer shall comply with all Sussex County Engineering Department requirements, including any off-site is necessary to provide service to this project. E, the project shall be served by central water to provide drinking water and fire protection. F, street naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the county mapping and addressing departments. G, the final site plan shall contain the approval of Sussex County Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. H, all streetlights shall be shielded and downward screened so they do not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. I, the interior street design shall meet or exceed Sussex County street design requirements. There shall be sidewalks on at least one side of all streets. J, if requested by the local school district, a school bus stop shall be provided. The location of the bus stop shall be shown on the final site plan. K, the recreational amenities shall be completed no later than the issuance of the 20th residential building permit. L, as required by Section 115-22 of the Zoning Code for multifamily developments in the AR1 zone, the site plan shall be revised to include at least 40% of the site as open space, and there shall be a 75-foot wide perimeter buffer along the county road. The development shall comply with the design, vegetation type, planting, and other requirements of Section 115-22G regarding multifamily dwellings in the AR1 district. M, construction site work delivery shall only occur on site between the hours of 8 a.m. through 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. No Saturday or Sunday hours are permitted. A 24-inch by 36-inch notice sign confirming these hours in both English and Spanish shall be prominently displayed at the entrances to the site during construction. N, there shall be a buffer that is at least 50 feet wide from all tidal waters, tidal tributaries, streams, tidal wetlands, perennial rivers, and non-tidal streams. There shall also be a 25-foot wide buffer from all non-tidal wetlands. There shall be minimum disturbance of trees and other vegetation within these buffer areas. This specifically includes the existing woodlands along the southeastern boundary of the development between the proposed units and the adjacent property. Required silt fencing shall be installed upland of these buffer areas using the edge of the buffer nearest the interior development to avoid disturbance. Construction activities within the buffer area shall be minimum. Any disturbance in the buffer area shall be indicated on the final site plan as limits of disturbance and shall be indicated on the final site plan. O, the final site plan shall include a landscape plan confirming all landscaping to be provided, the preservation of all buffer areas, and the forested areas that will be preserved. This landscape plan shall further identify all limits of disturbance within the site. P, the final site plan shall include a grading plan for the site. No building permit shall be issued for individual lots until an individual lot grading plan has been supplied to and approved by Sussex County. No certificate of occupancy shall be issued until a grading certificate is submitted to the Building Code Department demonstrating general conformity with the individual site grading plan. Q, as proffered by the applicant, the final site plan and recorded condominium covenants shall prohibit the application of fertilizers or similar soil additives on the property by the individual unit owners. All such applications shall be managed by the condominium association and a contractor of its designation using best management practices to minimize the risk of runoff into stormwater management systems, wetlands, and waterways. R, because the proposed stormwater management pond is located adjacent to a property used for agricultural purposes, including live animals, there shall not be any fountains or similar equipment that might generate noise or spray used in these ponds. S, the final site plan and recorded condominium document shall contain the agricultural use protection notice. And T, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
Second.
And moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2249, May Apple Farm, LLC, for the reasons and with the stipulations stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Carried. Our motion carries 3-1. Thank you. All right.